There's another side to good health, and that's good mental health.
What it do, baby? I have locked Connor and Drew out of the studio today. It is just me. Keeping in fashion with the final three episodes of season five of Group Golf Therapy. Thank y'all for listening. We appreciate you, Dinks. We love you. I love you. Season five is coming to a close, which is crazy because that would mean we're closing in on 100 episodes. We're closing in on 3 years of doing Group Golf Therapy. That's insane to me. That's absolutely mental. Talking to my friends, my UK friends from the Adidas team and watching Top Boy and rewatching Game of Thrones, I'm going to be insufferable with this Fugazi British accent. I apologize in advance. Drew already wished everybody a happy new year. I feel like the first week is over. I think we can go ahead and scrap that, but I do wish you a happy new year. Don't get it twisted. God bless. Look, season five coming to an end. We thought we'd mix it up at the end. Shrinks only, solo episodes. Drew the first straw, the shortest straw, so he went first. We appreciate you, King. Thank you for your service to the Dinks and to Group Golf Therapy. We love you. Keeping in that fashion, I submitted questions to Drew, Connor submitted questions to Drew, and now they've been flipped on me. So I've been prompted by Connor and Drew to answer some questions just to give my thoughts on a few topics. I've only skimmed them. I've only given a cursory glance. So not much has been prepared, but let's just dive right in, shall we? First word that comes to your head, and then Drew gives me several topics. First one is Rory McIlroy. Golly, where do I even start? It's felt. That's the first word that comes to my head. Man is he's a specimen. Just tight, hard body, muscle, compact, bulbous. When we met him last year, it was electric when our bodies touched. He looks good. He smells good. Smiles good. Carries himself good. Ambassador for the game good. Dude is an athlete. I know y'all see the Pokies through that Nike Tech polo every Sunday. You see it. I see it. I see what you're working with. You be hitting them pushups. Inside baseball. So Group Golf Therapy was at the Wells Fargo Championship last year with our friends at Scratch. And subsequently and tangentially, Connor was shooting something with Scratch that's now been released to your airwaves. Shout out to that man getting his own series on Scratch with Whoop, trying to break par. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. You keep swinging. You keep hitting them freaky little shots you like to hit. It's going to happen. We walked into the tour truck by accident, the truck where they were training, and seeing Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Jason Duffner, Akshay Bhatia, seeing how they train versus watching some clips from Full Swing and seeing how Rory trains, they're just different. Rory is better than you all in the athlete category. I would pick Rory McIlroy to be on my team. Like if we were lining up like PE style and it was like, you know, we're going to pick teams for kickball, I'm picking Rory first. I know he's a pro golfer, but look at that body. He's on my team. Athlete. Built different. First word that comes to your head, LA Golf brand. So the LA Golf company, the brand, they make golf equipment. According to them, the world's best golf equipment. Built with some space age technology that I'll never know about. Most of us will probably never know about, because that's the way they want it. No shade to folks that use their equipment. Hey, God bless you. Actually, can you hit me with the plug? I don't know anyone at that brand. I know who their investors are because they tell us that, but I don't know anyone that I play with or have played with that uses any of their equipment. It's supposed to be good. Take you at your word. What is the first word that comes to my head though? Exclusive? Because, yeah, I only know the investors. I don't know the players. I don't know the people, you know, the lay people on the ground who use LA Golf. Exclusive. If what I think a lot of golf brands are doing, whether it's equipment, apparel, footwear, social, whatever, is this, you know, making golf accessible, making golf approachable, yada, yada. But then you have a $1,400 putter. Exclusive. If you want to be the golf brand for elites with money who can, you know, blow an entire rent check on one piece of golf equipment, then say that. And then, you know, I know my place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to even consider them as an option, and I don't. But most of us won't. We don't even think about y'all. You on another planet. You out of here. You're not on my tax bracket. Come out and say that. First word that comes to your head, Tom Kim. Fun. I like him a lot. This new crop of young golfers, it reminds me of when I was, you know, high school, early college years, watching Ricky and young Rory and Dustin and Brooks and these guys who are superstars now, who are household names now, who I got to, in essence, grow up with and watch, you know, build their legacy in real time. That was so fun. It was so fun picking Dustin Johnson in my Masters pool every year. Rooting for Ricky, even though I know he ain't, God bless that man. I know he ain't standing a chance at the Masters, but I picked him anyway. I remember sophomore year of college, I picked Hideki Matsuyama in my Masters pool. Fast forward, it's been a while. I've been out of college for a long time. Picking Hideki because I was just so excited to watch this like new blood on the PGA Tour. And that's how I feel when I watch players like Tom Kim. And this next person, Akshay Bhatia. First word that comes to your head, lean. And I'm not just talking because he's skinny. He's lean. He's lean and built. I know that man has at least 6 to 8 abs underneath that Callaway polo that he's wearing. That Travis Matthew polo. I don't know what brand he wears. Man's lean. He's like, eat a double-double animal style, 10 p.m., go to sleep, wake up 2 a.m., eat a drink a vanilla milkshake, go back to sleep, wake up, run a mile lean, like high school lean. You know what I'm saying? Like no consequences lean. Man's just shoveling calories in and it's all going to his swing speed because it ain't showing up nowhere else. He's doing the reverse Squidward Krabby Patty. I don't know what it is about y'all tall, lean, lanky golfers, but that y'all have some of the most athletic movements that I've ever seen. Angles to your joints that don't make sense. Modern marvels you all are. All you over 6 foot, 160 pounds, soaking wet MFs out there, y'all know who I'm talking about. Swing speed north of 120. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I can't stand you. First word that comes to your head, Peter Millar. What? I can't say the first word that I want to say. sweat wicking. I'll say that, sweat wicking. Look, Peter Millar's not on my radar, but I know whose radar it is on. Picture this. You're at Target getting the honey-do list checked off. Y'all know the list I'm talking about. You go in there. You grab the basket. Foolish, first of all. Get the cart. Why are you making life harder for yourself? Get the cart. The basket is not going to be enough to hold everything on that list. Unless you're going in there for body wash. You don't even need the basket. Grab by hand. Go check out. Self-checkout. Don't waste nobody's time. Get in, get out. But y'all know what I'm talking about. You go in there, you get the basket, try and check off this honey-do list. You got your Titleist hat on. You got the Peter Millar quarter zip on. Somebody comes up and asks you what you shot today. You getting all pissed off because you ain't go play golf, but you look like you did. And while you're sweating, trying to state your case to this person who's grilling you about this course record that you just shot, you're sweating, your pits are dripping. But that Peter Millar, half quarter zip, sweat wicking, performance technology pullover is doing its job. Y'all know the exact motherfucker I'm talking about. That's Peter Millar. I don't know how it is with performance. I don't know how it is on the course. I've never worn it. But I know what it is good for. Clocking you in public. You went and played golf today, didn't you? Or you going to play golf after this? That's who Peter Millar is for. John Rahm. First word that comes to your head, John Rahm. Beast. Mans is an animal. Mans can move it. Mans got cake. Mans is hench. You feel me? John Rahm should be on somebody's line right now. The Eagles could use him straight up. But the fact that he is a professional golfer, the best in the world, is ludicrous. The type of build, you could walk by him in an airport, not know anything about golf, look at that man and say, you are an athlete of some sort, sir. And whatever you do, you are very, very good at it. And it's not just his build, right? Like it's the way he carries himself. It's the air of confidence, beastly. The way he moves the ball, beastly. The lineup on that man's beard. Let me tell you something. John Rahm goes to a black barber. Y'all see the lineup on his beard? Crispy. That barber's using protractors. That barber is using the white chalk on the outline just to make sure no hair gone untouched. That barber is using the leather sharpening method on his razors. You feel me? He's using hot cream. He's using the towel. He's using Clubman's aftershave. John Rahm's beard is so damn crispy. Anywhere that man goes, I'm looking at him. I'm saying, I don't know what you do, but you are professional at something. The way you carry yourself is just not of this world. Next question from Drew. You can only golf with one person for the rest of your life. Name them and why. Damn. This is going to be a cop-out answer. I'm sorry. Me. If I could only play golf with one person for the rest of my life, Bradford Wilson. I love me some me. Let me tell you, I didn't want, pray for, meditate on, manifest living alone this year, last year. But as fate would have it, I did. And getting to know myself, being isolated, being in my own space, my own energy, doing the things that I want to be doing, has been a game changer for me, an eye opener for me. And turns out I'm pretty dope. And I actually really like myself. Me, the answer is me. I would want to be around me. And that's not coming from a place of self-centeredness. That's like just truly understanding who I am, and understanding the value I bring to the world, and appreciating it, and appreciating myself, and admitting that to myself for the first time in a very, very long time. So if I absolutely had no other options, I couldn't call Connor, couldn't call Drew, couldn't call Josh, couldn't call John, couldn't call anyone, like go into my phone and there's an iOS block, you know, firewall set up, because every time I'd say, do you want to play golf, it would immediately reroute to myself. If I had no other options and it was just one person I could play golf with for the rest of my life, it's me. Damn, I hope and pray that each and every one of you listening understands and owns that power that each and every one of us has. You all possess it. We all do. You are the shit. Fuck, marry, kill. I love this question. these options are ridiculous. Lucas Glover's pants, pimento cheese, or damaged golf clubs due to airline travel. First of all, kill damaged golf clubs due to airline travel. Fortunately, I have never had an immediate run-in with that situation. I did have a very near miss, though. Traveling back from Tour Championship in Atlanta last year, flying Delta. And as I'm going to collect my bag from the oversized baggage area, I notice something is off. Something does not feel right. The way this man's rolling my bag out from the conveyor belt. Uncanny. Why are you all the way hunched down like that? Why can't you stand upright and roll my bag over to me? What's going on? So I go inspect a little further. Man's got things in both hands. Should only be one. These travel bags are pretty convenient to roll around now. Why do you have things in two hands, sir? As I get closer, as I approach this man, in one hand, he has the handle, not just the handle, the roof of my golf bag in his hand. And in the other, he's dragging the rest of my bag with my clubs in tow. When I tell y'all, my butt puckered up a little bit, the heart sank to the stomach a little bit. Felt like watching your kid break their first bone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd never experienced that before. It was terrifying. Like, what did you do? First of all, what did you do to my golf bag? As I go collect the bag from him, I'm in panic. I'm like, this is the end. I'm going to have to hook off on this dude. I'm going to have to swing on this man for harming my golf clubs. Did a little quick inspection. Golf clubs, thankfully, were fine. Golf bag in the trash. And you know all that Delta did for me? They sent me a voucher for luggage. They sent me a voucher for like regular like clothing luggage. Bro, what am I going to do? Fold up my golf clubs and put them in there? How am I going to safely transport my golf clubs in an away bag? It's not going to happen. So, kill damaged golf clubs with your airline travel. I think I have to fuck pimento cheese. Because at this point, it's transactional, right? Like, I hate pimento cheese. That's been well documented. It's disgusting. It's vile. It does not taste good. It tastes like hot sick. But if this is going to be transactional, kind of a one-time deal, just boop, boop, I think I can survive pimento cheese. And I'm going to marry Lucas Glover's pants. Because just like a real relationship, there's ups and downs. There are good days and bad days. Some days are dry. Some days are soaking wet. Some days are hot. Some days are cold. Lucas Glover, on a day where your pants are moist to the point you got to wring them out, that's what we got clothing racks at home for, baby. I got you. Bring them pants on home. We'll lay them out. Let the sun get to them. Bake them out. Dry them out. And we'll be Gucci tomorrow. What's a golf fashion trend that you hate And what's a golf fashion trend you'd like to lean into in 2024? Damn. Golf fashion trend. I'll tell you, I have been, Mr. on off course for a while. You know, I am so thankful to Adidas for providing me lots and lots of wonderful options. Love the team, love the things they send me. Thank you deeply. But this year, I've been toying around with this idea a little bit. I may lean in to the golf uniform a little bit. Give me the Tour 365 with the pleated pants, with the hard, sharp creases in them things. Give me a little performance polo. Let's see how it looks. Let's see what the tour line of shoes look like. Let me put the spikeless on the bench for a second. Let me lean all the way in. Imagine me showing up to the course. Imagine me showing up to Roosevelt for my LA friends. In some tour issue boas. All black, three white stripes. Black pants with the sharp creases. White belt, black polo. Black cap, arms bussing, oiled, moisturized. Bitch, I'm a lean in. I might not show up to Roosevelt with that, but if I get these country club invites, y'all going to have to see me. Sorry, y'all going to have to see me. Golf fashion trend you hate. I've seen a lot of people playing in denim lately, and it's almost as if they've leaned too hard into the F golf fashion rules. And you know, I love a good healthy dose of F the establishment. I'm a black man that lives in America. Are you kidding me? But we have morals. I have a code of ethics, and it does not include wearing denim on the golf course. You vagabond, you absolute ruffian. Liz Breed is calling me right now. Should I put her? I'm gonna put her on a speaker. Lilibet.
Hello, darling.
You're live on the pod right now.
No, I'm not.
You are. Do you want to say hi?
Oh my god. Hi, boys.
It's I'm boy. I'm doing a solo episode.
Oh, you're doing a solo mesh. Yeah,
I just answered one of Drew's questions. What's a golf fashion trend that you hate? And what's a golf fashion trend that you'd like to lean into in 2024?
Mine are, this is going to be fucked up because someone that we know and that could listen to the podcast makes these, but you know what I can't stand? Colored golf gloves.
Ooh, sick. Okay.
That's divisive. I like a white.
You like it white.
Yikes.
Give me the white golf
audio.
Glove.
Isolate the audio.
Redacted. Okay, so you want the white golf glove.
Yeah, I want the white golf glove because I never, like, I'm not the type of person that, like, takes care of their golf stuff, especially a glove. So I just rip it off, stick it back into my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I pull up around and I'm, like, wearing something goofy and then I have to pull out, like, a green golf glove,
mm-hmm.
that's going to look dumb as hell.
Mm.
And it's almost always that they make, like, the colored golf gloves are, like, really bright colors, which, like, no one likes that.
Right, right.
You know? Like, I could get down with, like, a beige golf glove.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But like lime green,
or like a light gray.
A light gray could be nice.
A light gray,
like,
could be nice.
Still neutral-ish.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that sticks out.
Right, right. It doesn't need to be the focal point.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here for that.
Trends that I'm leaning into. The golf uniform is really good, but for me, I'm leaning into 4 foot wide pants.
Ooh. Sick.
Big pants, little top.
big pants, little top. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like if my belly button isn't showing, I'm not coming.
Got it. Oh, I would love to play a round with you where we both just lean into that. I show up as the club pro uniform yeah. only.
But it's got to be a uniform from a time period, right? Like it can't be a uniform like from now.
Got you. I feel you.
It's got to be like 1968.
Ooh, yeah, right. Post civil rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they were really putting that shit on, you know, like they also had wide legs. They also had wide legs. They had clickety clacks. Throw me on a peak polo and a cardigan. Uh-huh.
I mean, listen, yeah, it's 85 degrees out. Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? I look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wool.
Wool. Cotton, yeah.
Polyester. Golf uniform.
Okay. I'm fucking with
moisture
it.
Moisture wicking? No.
Yeah, moisture wicking is out.
No, we're sweaty.
Yeah. You're going to know I performed athletic maneuvers today.
Yeah. Whoa.
Hell yeah. All right, I'm with that.
Listen, lean in. I love it. I'll let you I'm actually going to hang out with our beloved Addie Parker later today. So if you call me back, I might not answer to this.
Okay. I hear that. Give her lots of love for me.
Oh my god, I always do.
Please. I love you so much.
I love you so much.
I'll chat with you later.
Okay.
Bye, babes.
Bye, darling.
Liz Breed, ladies and gentlemen. I love that woman so much. I DM'd her yesterday literally just to tell her I love her. Because I do. What's something you miss about playing golf as a kid that you don't do? Feeling you have now that you're an adult. Got it. You know that feeling... Almost like you don't feel like you belong there. And I mean, shit, I got a long documented history of that. But it's like the feeling like I'm getting away with something. Like I hit my drive. I'm in the middle of the fairway, teeing up or getting ready to hit my approach shot. And it's as if I cheated. Like there's no rhyme or reason as to why I'm here right now in the middle of this fairway. I feel like I've gotten away with something. I feel like at any minute, the Rangers are going to come kick me off the course. I don't really have that feeling anymore. I think I'm a little bit more accustomed to fairways. Maybe that has something to do with it. But also, because I've been working internally on taking up space, in you know, places where I traditionally feel uncomfortable. Now I'm getting to a point where I feel more comfortable kind of everywhere I go. And as it relates to golf, playing as a kid, I always had that feeling and it was kind of scary and lit and fun and exciting and nervy and anxious and all things wrapped into one. And it's a feeling I guess I don't really have much anymore. So hope that answers the question. I actually really love this. Okay. Moving on to Connor's questions. Which Game of Thrones house is the group golf therapy family? Wow. Jesus. As fate would have it, I'm rewatching Game of Thrones right now. I just finished season one. I'm in season two. I think I'm episode 3 or 4. Y'all had mad time to watch. So if you don't know Game of Thrones, what are you doing? This is my third time watching. And the second time watching through, it's amazing how many things you pick up on. And the third time, even more. Like, even though I can quote a lot of this show, I find myself hanging on every single word because I don't want to miss tiny little details. I don't want to miss the foreshadowing. I don't want to miss character development, you know, really important pivotal moments in character development. I also have been watching for and noticing when their budget has increased. Season one looks like it was shot in the Warner Brothers lot. Season two? Okay. Y'all in castles now. Season three, y'all in different worlds. Anywho. Which Game of Thrones? So, okay, when I'm thinking about the group golf therapy family, I'm thinking about me, Connor, Drew, Josh Levine, Joshy Gons, Benny, Maya, Liz. We come from so many different places. But one thing, maybe recency bias here, we got the big lizard. We got Big Liz Breed on the team, in the family. You know what a big lizard is? In Game of Thrones times, that's a dragon. You feel me? We're House Targaryen. You feel me? And before y'all start questioning, have y'all seen House of the Dragon? Tell me you're not rooting for the Targaryen family. Stop playing with me. Stop playing. The more we dig into our history, as House Targaryen, the more melanated we become. Stop playing with me. Me with some blonde dreadlocks would be fire. I would be so annoying because I would be so full of myself. Big lizard energy. House Targaryen is group golf therapy. Thank you. If you're king of golf for one day, who are you banishing from the land forever? Okay. That's such a good question. Let me just take a beat. Okay, this is probably 2017, 2018. Before really leaning hard into the golf content creation, I was doing a lot of browsing, doing a lot of scrolling, doing a lot of watching. I vividly remember this one person playing golf in Arizona. He was wearing white Air Force Ones. Didn't belong on this course. It was probably like a TPC or something, or gorgeous, gorgeous desert course in Arizona. This fool had the nerve to tee up his ball and hit it into an endangered cacti on purpose. And had multiple videos of it. The IG investigators eventually got to him. He had to take the post down. I believe he was banned from that course. But as king of golf for one day, I would take it a step further and ban him from the sport for the rest of his life. And his ball hit a mama. I don't know that that's true. That's unsubstantiated, but I got me all riled up. I felt like I should take a shot. So whoever that dude is, never return. I'm sending you to Castle Black. You have to take the black now and never return. You won one non-major PGA Tour event. Which one you want and why? Damn. Let's go. Give me the players. I want to win the players. And when I play it, I want most of the budget allocated toward improving the swinging gold animated players person. You know what I'm talking about. Fuck, marry, kill. Tee times, the starter, or simulator golf. Kill simulator golf. I don't know what it is. Overhead light just throws me off. I don't do well in simulators. I'm going to marry the starter. You sweet old bastard. I'm going to marry you. Tee times. This is transactional, baby. I'm in, I'm out. I would like 12:10 on Monday, and then I will see myself out to the course. Thank you. Transaction. And what is your GED, your actual GDMF superpower? Genuinely, what do you think separates you from everyone? Jesus Christ. The same person you hear on the microphone is the same person you'll meet in person. The same person you'll play golf with. The same person you'll have a meal with. The same person you'll get a happy birthday text message from. The same person you'll get a random phone call from. I think that I'm a pretty genuine person. Doesn't mean I'm always right or you know, honorable or, you know, correct. I make mistakes, but I'm genuine. I show up as myself no matter where I am. And I'm quite proud of that. Hope that answers the question. Dinks, thank y'all so much for listening to me talk for almost 40 minutes. You must really love me. Jesus. I'm so happy and proud of what we built with Group Golf Therapy. I'm so proud of Connor and Drew for everything that they've done, and Josh for how much time and energy and effort they put into building what we have. I could not have asked for a better group of people around me. Genuinely been searching for people like this my whole life. I love you from the bottom of my butts. I have multiple butts. You've seen it. I'm caked up back there. God bless y'all. May your 2024 be prosperous and joyful, successful. Hit them straight. Mind your golf. Bye.
I have a confession to make. About 18 months ago, I was the guy that we talk about.
Crusty glove, no glove, holy glove, dirty glove.
I had so many holes in my gloves.
Come on, dog.
I was a churn and burn kind of golfer. I showed up to the golf course. I dug my glove out of the cavernous pit that it sat in my golf bag. You know, I opened up the pocket and a beam of sunlight hit it in the face and it went, you again. It did not like me. And I would just buy a new glove, any glove off the rack, as cheap as I could, just because I felt like I needed one. But Red Rooster coming in with the subscription pack once a month, or even once every 6 weeks, changed my
life.
Game
changer.
Changed my game, changed my outfits, changed my grip. I did not see the light before, and now I am Sean.
Welcome, my brother. I get compliments every time I pull up to the golf course, because you know why? You know I stay fitted. You know what also goes with everything I put on? Them gloves, baby. I'll never have to worry. It's like wearing a school uniform. I don't have to use brain power to think about what fit I'm going to throw on, because my fits are automated. And then when I reach into my bag, my glove is too. You know what that trickles down into? My game being automated, my game being dialed, because I don't have to worry about extras. I don't have to think about what kind of glove, because every glove I put on is fire.
It's fire.
If you don't listen to this show, you might not be able to say that. But guess what? If you use code GGT20, you can say that.
Mm-hmm.
You get 20% off that order. And while you're there, hop into that subscription service. Do yourself a favor. Every 4 to 6 weeks, get that glove. Get a couple. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your pop. Pull up. Put on a Red Rooster. Play better golf. Straight up.
Tell them the shrink sent you. Don't let your golf game lay an egg. Get the Red Rooster. Wake your ass up. Cock-a-doodle-do. Are we recording? Great. Hi, everyone. Connor here. This is my shrink-only of the shrinks-only con thoughts. So you've heard Drew last week. Bradford and I sent him questions. You heard Brad just before this. Now it's my turn. Again, happy 2024. Happy New Year. I, if you cannot tell from the sound of my voice, have COVID. So that's chill. I tested positive on January 3rd, 2024. I feel terrible. I'm in a bit of a daze, but it allows me to wear this. It's an audio medium, so you can't see, but I'm wearing a lovely Outdoor Voices fleece right now, so I'm feeling cozy. I'm catching up on a lot of programming, a lot of content. I'm doing a rewatch of Top Boy right now, which is heavy. Let's just get right in. I'm a wreck, so let's just do this thing. Start out with questions from Drew. Drew asks, what's a golf fashion trend that you hate, and what's a golf fashion trend that you'd like to lean into in 2024? A good question. I think if I had to do a get a grip segment sponsored by Red Rooster, it would be probably about this. There's so many golf brands right now, and we talk about this ad nauseum, but so many golf brands, small ones specifically, that are using, let's call it, inclusive language to market their brand. And on the face of it, great. Everybody's for making golf more accessible and getting clubs into the hands of more people. Fantastic. Is a $55 golf polo doing that? No. So let's just be honest about that. And maybe if you are hoping to start a golf brand in 2024, have a different selling point. Make good clothing that people really want to wear, that you really want to wear. That's enough. But it doesn't need to be for everybody. That doesn't mean that you are racist or sexist if you don't include that language in your marketing or in your branding. But what bugs me is when a small company that sells five different SKUs of clothing that are really only able to be worn by men and are marketed to men say that they're for everybody. Let's be honest about that. I think an area where when we glaze Metalwood Studio famously and the work that Cole and his team are doing, but they're so specific at Metalwood. It's the bygone era of the 90s and early 2000s. That's the reference point. That's what they're pulling from. There's no language about inclusivity and making golf a better place for everybody. And like, that's intentional. So perhaps what is this? I would like to see less just fucking generic inclusivity language used by brands that aren't actually doing anything to make the game more inclusive other than selling products. So that's just lazy. Things that I would like to lean into in 2024, the flip side of this question. I mean, I've been talking about this for a long time, but I enjoy wearing flowy things. I've been known to wear clothing that was designed for women. Initially, I love when I go to vintage stores, it's typically the aisle that I gravitate to the most is on the tops front mostly. I wear a lot of long sleeve button downs, sort of like linen-y, flowy things. I'd like to extend that into my bottoms as well. I'd like to wear some more skirts perhaps. Also overalls and jumpsuits. I love a jumpsuit and I love overalls, but I don't really experiment with them on the golf course. So that's something that I would like to lean into in 2024. Next question. You could only eat one food that is served at a halfway house for the rest of your life. What would that food be and why? So it depends on the direction that I'm going to take this question in. Is this a food that is currently served by halfway houses and I only get to eat that when I'm at a halfway house, when I'm playing golf? Or is it a food that is served at halfway houses and that's just the only dish that I get to eat for the rest of my life in every context? That seems a bit intense. So let's go with the first one. Every time I play golf and stop at a halfway house, I have to get this thing. I'm a known soup guy. I love soup. I have a ladle, a soup ladle that I own that my partner gave to me as a gift that says soup guy on it. She had it monogrammed, which I think is beautiful and a nice sign of love. I would go soup, especially if I'm playing golf in the British Isles and it's cold outside. A stew, a chowder, a soup goes a long way. So I would probably do something like that. Okay, fuck, marry, kill. Liv PGA merger, Harold Varner's hairline, and people who genuinely use the phrase Taco Tuesday. Okay, there's a lot to unpack with this one. Let's start with the last one first. People who genuinely use the phrase Taco Tuesday are hilarious. They're probably LeBron fans. What else do they do? What else do those people do? the people who say and do Taco Tuesday also definitely make the same joke every time a waiter comes up to their table at a restaurant and says, "How's the food?" They say, "Terrible." And their plate is empty and they laugh about it. And they find that very funny. I also imagine that people who do Taco Tuesday, their favorite sports teams are the Yankees, the Cowboys, Man United. Actually, there's no way that they know what soccer is. But they like all of the successful, boring kind of franchises. Also, people who do Taco Tuesday would definitely be assassinated by a habanero pepper, despite the fact that they think that they're being exotic for eating tacos every Tuesday. So there's that. Harold Varner's hairline is an interesting one because it's bad. It is bad. It's a tough hairline. It's receded quite a lot, and it's a shame because I remember seeing a photo of him from 2014 where he had it. He had the hair blown out, and it looked really good. And over the last 10 years, he's just lost it all, and that's a shame, you know. And I think it's a question that many men need to ask themselves at some point in life, when to shave it all off. You know, how much are we going to try and hide this thing? And it's something I'll have to deal with for sure. But I also want to help normalize male pattern baldness. So if I can be an advocate for it, basically I'm doing my future self a bit of love here. I might marry the hairline. Because here's another thing to note that's important. It's not Tiger, you know? I think, look at Tiger's hairline. It's tough. And that's a man who was faced with that decision a long time ago. Do I get rid of it or do I try and hide it? And he's really just kept it looking like oatmeal for the past 5.5 years, probably 6 years. And that's unfortunate. It's like you kind of have to go either way. Tiger's richer than God. He could get the hair plug treatment. He could do Rogaine. I don't know. But he's lets it be patchy and odd. Harold is kind of in that middle. And you should, if you're listening to this, you should pull up a picture of him because he does have a fully receding hairline. There's still a little stubble there, but he's not like hiding it. It's not like he's growing a long hair and like pushing it all forward. So I kind of respect it, and I think I'm going to marry it. I have to kill the people who say Taco Tuesday. I just do. Yeah, there's no coming back from that. You're definitely not fucking those people because that would be miserable. And I guess you got to fuck the Liv PGA merger. As questionable as that is, I guess you're not really sure what you're getting into. No one is. No one's sure what they're getting into with that. So it's kind of a wild card. It might be really fun and it might make you a lot of money, but it also might be, it might kill you. So I guess you just have to weigh, you know, it could be the best thing you've ever experienced or it could be the end of your experience. So you just have to weigh that. Weird answer. Okay, this is a great question. I have to sit up for this. Drew presented me with a Freaky Friday situation. You wake up in Miguel Angel Jimenez's body. What's the first thing you do? I feel like the better question is actually, what is he doing if he wakes up in my body? Because that would be a temple of nightmare for him that it would be funny for him to wake up in my circumstances, for example, have COVID. Okay. I actually don't know if Drew wrote this question for me intentionally, knowing my affinity for Miguel Angel Jimenez, AKA the most interesting man in golf. If he did, that's brilliant because 3 years ago, I wrote and published an actual article in an actual publication that will go unnamed, titled A Love Letter to Miguel. For those who don't know Miguel Angel Jimenez, let me fill you in. He's a 60-year-old Spanish professional golfer. He's got this beautiful ginger ponytail that He kind of looks like a Spanish F. Murray Abraham. I don't know if that reference is going to get people or not, but he's won like 20 times on the European Tour. He played on a bunch of Ryder Cups. But what he's most known for is his driving range warm-up routine. And he rocks up to the driving range. He lights a cigar. He opens a bottle of red wine. He grabs a couple of golf clubs. And he proceeds to stretch himself into the gnarliest pretzels you've ever seen. He makes himself into like a tarantula. It's just arms and legs going everywhere. The red wine and the cigar thing kind of make him into the, he's kind of the Spanish John Daly, to be fair. And then he goes out there and he just has the smoothest tempo ever. He seems like a really lovely guy, very jubilant. He plays really well. He still plays on the Champions Tour. He's like winning every once in a while. I love Miguel Angel Jimenez. So what is the question? If I swap bodies with him, what's the first thing I'm doing when I'm waking up? I'm seeing what those things do. I'm going straight to the driving range and I'm diving into one of his warm-up routines because those things are unstoppable, plain and simple. Great question. All right, final question from Drew. What's something you miss about playing golf as a kid that you don't do / feeling you have now that you're an adult? What's something you miss about playing golf as a kid that you don't do? If I'm honest, I got a lot of anxiety playing golf as a kid because I attached so much of it to money and status and wealth and none of which I felt I had relative to my peers. One of the first times I ever played golf on a golf course, my friend of some means invited me to play with him and his father and his uncle at the course that they belonged to. I'd never been to a private golf course before. And I think I was 12 or so. And that really terrified me because I was already very aware of wealth and wealth disparity. And I remember my dad gave me a $20 bill to bring to the golf course for food. And as soon as I get to the golf course, I rock up. I went in the pro shop and I used that $20 bill to buy a golf glove. I was also the kind of kid who I loved playing sports almost equally for the actual enjoyment of the sport as the dress up, the playing dress up to do it. I was a catcher in baseball. I loved playing hockey, most of which, all of those things, because I really enjoyed putting on the pads and like looking like the thing. So the same thing applied to golf. I remember I showed up at the golf course and I was like, I don't have a glove. I can't play. That doesn't make any sense. So I go to the pro shop, slap my $20 bill down. And I said, hey, bartender, give me one of those leather, fresh Cabrera leather gloves that you got. And when I went home that day, I confessed to my dad that I didn't spend the $20 bill that he'd given me on food. Instead, I'd bought a glove, which I still had, and I showed it to him. And understandably, he was like, what the hell? You made this family also pay for your lunch? That's rude. And I felt terrible about that. So that's just an example of what golf for me was like as a kid. It was just like, I was stressed. I really didn't want to appear out of place. I didn't want somebody to come up to me and say, like, we know who you are, get the fuck out of here. So I tried to assimilate as much as possible. It's a hard question for me to answer because I only really started playing golf when I was 15 or 16. I didn't treat myself like a kid. I think I'm playing like a kid now more than I did. Isn't that weird? I think I tried to treat myself. I thought that golf was for grown-ups when I was a kid. So I tried to be like a grown-up. And now that I'm a grown-up, I feel like golf should be for kids. So I play like a kid. So I'm sorry, Drew. It's a really hard question for me to answer, actually. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it. On to Bradford's questions. Okay. I know you love to cook. What's the meal that you'd prepare for someone to show them that you really, truly love them? That is so good. If I really, really, truly love you, I will make you a proper roast chicken dinner, full roast chicken dinner. And the reason is this. It's the first meal that I was taught how to make. My mom is British, and she told me from a young age when I was, before I left the house, I had to learn how to do laundry, sew on a button, and cook a roast chicken dinner. So she taught me how to do that. And now to this day, it's my favorite thing to cook because it's incredibly nostalgic. And a roast chicken, it's one of those things that's so simple, but if it's done really well, if it's executed really well, it's one of the best meals you'll ever have. It, you know, crispy skin, juicy, tender meat. I'm a dark meat person. I love a thigh. It is a labor of love. A lot of people also think that roasting a chicken is a chuck it in the oven, set it and forget it. But you got to be in there monitoring that bird, baby. You got to be basting. There's some prep that you can do beforehand, i.e. get some rosemary and some garlic and some butter and some other poultry seasonings up under that skin to really give it a nice vacuum seal of flavor. So if I'm taking the time to roast you a chicken and do all the fixings on the side, i.e. Yorkshire puddings, roast potatoes, a gravy, a pan gravy after the fact, roast veg and like a big salad and possibly a pudding as well, that I don't need to tell you that I love you. That's it. That's all that is. Great question. Fuck, marry, kill. Again, Jamie Tart, Tommy Shelby, and Michael Caine. Oh, three Brit boys. This is tough. Peaky Blinders is one of my favorite shows of all time, so I think Bradford knew this going into it. And Uncle Dupe and Michael Caine. Tommy Shelby is he's a deviant. That's a dark, mysterious man. I think I would have to fuck Tommy Shelby. I need to know. It looks great. I'd have to marry Jamie Tart. I mean, let me say this because I feel so bad killing Michael Caine because he's our Globe's Alfred. He's our guy. He not only is he Alfred, but he's a gangster. He's Alfred. He's been in everything he's honestly. So we're going to get down to it. Bradford, Drew, and I in our group text, before every New Year's Eve, we come up with a year-end buzzer beater list. And this stems from, God rest her soul, Betty White kicking the can down the road at the end of 2021, I think it was. Drew texted us that Betty White hit the buzzer beater, because she did. She passed away, unfortunately, I think on New Year's Eve 2021. And now every year we put a prediction list together of who's going to make the year-end buzzer beater list. And I hadn't thought about Michael Caine, but he might be my January 2024 mortal lock for the 2025 buzzer beater list. I really hope I'm wrong, but the man he's distinguished. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm saying? He's distinguished. I'm going to have to kill Michael Caine. I'm putting him on my own buzzer beater list because he's not going to get to these. he's not going to score. I think I'd fuck Tommy Shelby, and I think I'd marry Jamie Tart, because Jamie Tart, the arc of Jamie Tart, man, I mean, he starts as a lump of clay, and he's just so entitled and so self masturbatory, and he's the worst. He's a terrible person. The show wants you to hate him, and then he turns into the ultimate teammate. And that's not a metaphor for marriage, and that's not the kind of arc you want with your relationship. I don't know what else you need. So I'm marrying Jamie Tart. Also, I didn't even mention the fact that we interviewed Phil Dunster. So, obviously there's a connection. Phil played Jamie Tart. He's a lovely man. He's gorgeous. I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with it. Lock it in. This is a great question. If you could learn to play any instrument from the world's best at their craft, i.e. learn how to play bass from Flea, what instrument would it be and who would teach you? Awesome. So I do play some instruments. I play bass guitar, play some regular guitar, play a bit of drums. I used to sing a little bit as well. I always, always, always overlooked piano. I thought piano was boring. I thought it was one note, so to speak. And the theory, music theory, never really interested me. I was always, this might surprise you, probably not, always a bit of a feel player. I'm self-taught, and I loved just like learning how to play things. And piano just never really stuck with me. Now, at this age, I wish that I played piano. I really wish I played piano competently, because I think, you know, you can play piano on every style of music ever. Who would teach me? Sampha. I've been massively into Sampha recently, and he's a beautiful piano player. His voice is incredible as well. Yeah, he's not the best piano player in the world. Far from it. But I also think his style of music is just gorgeous. It's soulful. He transposes a lot of his piano parts to other instruments. So he's someone who clearly just uses the piano as a tool to write. And I would love to spend an hour a week for a year with Sampha learning how to play piano. That's a fantastic question. Okay. Can you detail a single moment in a sports match, parentheses, one golf shot, an inning slash out, a jump shot, a throw, etc., from your youth that you wish you could get back? Wish you could get back kind of implies that it went badly and that you wish you had another shot at it. Is that what you mean, Bradford? Or is it that you wish you could experience again because of how epic it was? I'm going to go that. I want to keep it positive. So my last baseball game of my career, I was a senior in high school. We're playing against a team that our team in my 4 years of playing this team had never beaten. This team was like an athletic, prodigious academy, basically. Baseball, football, soccer, hockey, wrestling. They had everything, and they were very good at everything. We never beat them in baseball. In high school baseball, we played 7 innings, I think it was. And I had been captain for 2 years. I was the catcher. I think I was the only senior on my high school baseball team when I was a senior. We're playing this school. It's our final game of the regular season. We're not going to the playoffs because we sucked that season. This team is. They're going to states. They're going to nationals, whatever. They're a very good team. We end up tying this team through regulation. I think it was 2-2. Go to extra innings. I'd caught a really good game, but I think I was 0-3 from the plate. And that's not far away from the truth generally. I was a decent hitter, but I was definitely a defensive player more than anything. Long story short, I drove in the winning run to beat this team for the first time on my last day in office. In my high school baseball team. And that was, I cried instantly. I just like absolutely smashed a ground ball right up the middle through the second baseman and the shortstop. There was a guy on second, and he was so fast, and he came around and scored so quickly. And I just like dropped to my knees. It was at home. People were there. People were watching. Walk off, and I hit the winning run. That was, I don't think I'll ever get that back. That was the highest I've ever felt. What's one thing you warn / advise friends or family about golf before they start playing for real? Start small. Don't put the pressure on. Don't buy the full bag of clubs. Start small. Just get a putter and get a wedge and just start hitting little shots. Borrow clubs from friends, steal golf clubs. don't use your only $20 to buy a golf glove because you don't need it yet. See, full circle. That this was a good question. Thank you. Start small. Figure out if you like it first and then really dive in and take it piecemeal. It's like when you're furnishing a house that you have just bought and you think you're going to be there forever. You're not buying every piece of furniture that you're going to live with for the rest of your life. You're obviously going to be cycling things in and out. The same can be true about your golf game and your bag, certainly. You don't need to like spring for the whole thing right out of the gate. Just take it piece by piece. You're not good enough to get mad yet, and you're certainly not good enough to like have every single thing that you need because you're not going to use it effectively. So just take it slow, start small, and then build up. Okay, final question from Bradford, and it's a rank 'em. So rank these golf things in order of your personal taste, 1 through 5. Okay. Pimento cheese sandwich. Ooh. A poorly repaired pitch mark. Ugh. Clubman's aftershave. Ugh. Goose shit. Ugh. And striking your ankle with a wedge. Ugh. Bradford picked some truly horrific things here for me to rank. There's no clear order. 1 through 5. I'm going to say 5 is worst. Yeah, 5 is worst. Okay. There is no pain on earth like striking your ankle with a wedge or a putter. I'll say this. I have pretty good pain tolerance. I've never felt such pain in my entire life than hitting the ball of my ankle with a wedge as I'm stepping off the green. And pair that with the emotional pain that you feel after you've hit a bad shot and you do that and you get all pissy and then you hit yourself in the ankle and then you want to actually jump into the lake. That is a terrible, terrible feeling. I'm going to put that 5. I'm going to put that as the worst. Pimento cheese is 4. That's right after that. That's terrible. Then I'm going to put a poorly repaired pitch mark. The caddy in me. I hate seeing it. I hate walking around. Nice courses, bad courses, doesn't matter. Fix your goddamn pitch marks. It drives me insane. It really does. And then goose shit. Obviously not ideal. It's just... But what's here is like, it's not like you're stepping in it necessarily. It's just kind of the existence of goose shit, which I can kind of tolerate. You know, it's like the existence of goose shit necessitates that geese are alive. And I think that's okay. I don't know. I'm putting it at 2 and I'm throwing the Clubman's aftershave at 1. It's not my favorite smell. It's certainly not my favorite golf smell. But it's unoffensive generally. Okay, those are all of the questions, and I guess this is the end of session number 99. Next week you're gonna get all 3 of us on the microphone and we're gonna share some really exciting, interesting things with you about season 6, I guess I'll say. Can we call it season 6 even? I'm going to leave that right there and titillate you with that. Thank you genuinely for listening. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't make it this far. Given the state that I'm in, I kind of can't see anything right now. I'm a little wonky in the head, but thank you for listening. I love you very much. Bradford, Drew, thank you for the questions. I love you guys and I'll talk to you very soon. Thanks.